It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Have you ever just sat down and somewhere public, perhaps sipping a cup of coffee, and just watched the people go by? When I've done this, I've been struck by the immense diversity passing before me. Where I live, there's every ethnic and cultural group represented. You name it, they're here. Then there are the very young through to the very old, healthy and not, large and small, well-dressed and poorly, every imaginable variation of humanity. Despite this diversity, there are many things we have in common. We all need to eat, drink, sleep, and breathe, but I've got something else in mind, something deeper. I want to identify three core absolutes of our humanity, no matter who we are, where and when we live, or the culture to which we belong. These three core absolutes have a way of orienting us toward the humanity of others and our world, even when we find their culture so different, even offensive. But first, a caveat. That's a forthright declaration of my basic presumption here. My presumption, and we all have them, is that the biblical record is true and reliable. This presupposition is based upon certain facts, arguments, and reasons, but I won't go into them here and now. Basically, this is an invitation to look for the answer through the lens of the Bible, what I call God's perspective. From this perspective, I find the way forward becomes clearer and the implications for living more obvious. As we approach the first pages of the Bible, Genesis 1 to 3, it is helpful to remember that this is an ancient text. It's not a 21st century scientific treatise. This in no way undermines the reliability or the truthfulness of the Bible. Rather, it's a reminder that we need to listen carefully to what the Bible says on its own terms, not dismiss it or distort it. Now, let's briefly examine three absolutes shared by all humanity. Absolute 1. The creation of humanity in Genesis 1, 26 to 31 is the apex of the creation account. After God has created the universe and all other living creatures, it's announced, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." What does it mean for us to be image of God? What follows is a brief summary of three basic interrelated responses commonly given to this question. One is substantive. This means that there is something about what we are that bears characteristics of God, without being God, of course. Such is the nature of an image. We are spirit, soul, and body, and somehow that has something to do with what it is to be image of God. These characteristics mean that we are theomorphic, God-shaped. As a result, we are set apart from all other creatures and are of inestimable value. Also, the constitution of humans is such that the eternal Son could become a human, Jesus Christ, without in any way diminishing his deity. The second response is relational. We are wired for God, and we are also designed to and for others. Every human is capable of being a nexus of relationship with God, with others, and with creation. And the third response is functional. This is more about what we do as faithful and adequate representatives of God towards others and within creation. So substantively, what we are, relationally, the capacity for relating to God, others, and creation, and functionally, what we do. God has invested humans, all humans, with dignity, authority, and responsibility. As image and likeness of God, humanity stood in place of God in the same manner that a royal agent stood in place of an ancient Near Eastern king. Humans belonged to God and were to faithfully represent God within the boundaries of the mandate he had given. As much as we may seek to deny this image, it is not erased. So here's a summary of absolute number one. Every human, whenever, wherever, and however they live, is wired for God, others, and creation because each of us is image of God. Here's absolute number two. We are imperfect. We do say and think bad things. Bad things happen to us. We get sick and we die. Does that mean that we are as bad as we can be? No. But in many ways, it means that we are as bad off as we can be. Genesis 3 tells the story of humans stepping over the line or transgressing when they did the one thing that God told them not to do. Bible scholar Bruce Waltke comments that that act was a, quote, essentially a breach of trust, an illicit reach of unbelief, an assertion of autonomy, end quote. Upon stepping over the line with God, we humans began to experience the effects of our alienation from God. Not only that, as for humanity's relationship with creation, life became hard and dangerous work. To borrow a quote, this relationship now offered blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Although creation still provides food and other resources for life, it also unleashes destructive forces indiscriminately, tsunamis, earthquakes, typhoons, and epidemics, so forth. As for our relationships with other humans, the results of the human transgression in Genesis 3 set in motion all the discord and conflict we experience, strife in marriage, rivalry among brothers and sisters, hate, violence, and abuse, sickness, aging, and death. Each of us was born, and each of us will die, an unavoidable reality check for each of us. Nevertheless, the image is not erased, but it has been marred or distorted. So here's a summary of absolute number 2. The image we all are has become distorted or marred. We have somehow been diminished. And absolute number 3. Here is one other absolute that's common to every human, but I'm not quite sure what to call it. I'll attempt to describe it. This absolute hovers somewhere near our deep-rooted sense that there has to be something more than this. If you're like me, you sometimes wonder why bad things happen to good people, or why God doesn't do something about evil. There's an upside and a downside to trying to answer these questions. Briefly, a downside is that when you try to make sense of bad things and evil, we sometimes end up diminishing our understanding of God and His good creation. Christopher Wright states that evil is not to be understood. Rather, it is to be resisted. And he continues with, evil has no proper place within creation. It has no validity, no truth, no integrity. It does not intrinsically belong to creation as God originally made it, nor will it belong to creation as God will ultimately redeem it. Evil was and remains an intruder, an alien presence. An upside of thinking about whether bad things happen to good people is how it can expose a niggling sense embedded within our essential humanity that God's good creation, including ourselves, is not as it should be or could be. This sense betrays in a good way the illusion that there is nothing more. This sense holds out the possibility of a return to our true humanity with its proper relationship with God, with others, and with creation. This isn't quite a hope, but it points toward hope. In some way, this sense is a combination of the first and second absolutes, our existence as the image of God coupled with our distortion by sin. Deep down, we somehow know intuitively that we are made for something more. That's what I'm trying to get at. That my life and environment are not as they should be or could be. Even though I don't yet know what to call this, absolute number 3 is the deep rooted sense that we are more, or we're made for more, and our lives are not as they could be. What are some of the implications of this quick survey of our core absolutes of humanity? In our exploration of Christ and culture, we're inquiring about God, culture, and Christians, and the dynamic among them. As such, we'll be examining, among other things, who Jesus Christ is, what makes our various cultures what they are, how we can live faithful, godly lives within these cultures. This will perhaps require us to make certain observations, assessments, and changes. I have proposed these 3 absolutes. 1, every human is image of God. 2, every image is distorted by sin. And 3, every human knows intuitively that life is not what it could be, There's got to be something more. If we ignore or deny these absolutes, then we're not viewing others from God's perspective. As a result, we soon develop biases and prejudices based on opinions constructed by those whose feet are firmly planted in midair. If we are aware of these absolutes and keep them in our minds and hearts, we have some boundaries of reality. We can build on God's perspective that will serve us well in searching out answers to crucial questions. Hopefully, this will equip us to see more clearly what God intends for His people and how they should act. And as we are impacted by people, particularly those from cultures we do not know and may even find offensive, it's good to remember that we share these three core absolutes with all humanity, with every single person.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.